Wednesday. Time for our midweek edition of our nightly coronavirus report with Dr. Henry Nyman. There are a lot of interesting headlines up there every day. There's no shortage of interesting headlines to post. Doctors are now warning Trump of mass U.S. casualties, they say, if the shutdowns and lockdowns continue for much longer. And I haven't seen anyone really jump into the issue of massive psychological, psycho-emotional damage to the public. You lock people up for a couple of months and things change. They're just not going to bounce back in many cases like you'd think many would. Another interesting story, Trump will lose in a landslide because of the destroyed economy. I think we could also say because of his handling or lack thereof of the coronavirus. This is a brand new election model. There are a lot of things to talk about. We do know now that the White House physician, Trump's White House physician, was the one who prescribed the hydroxychloroquine for him. This came from his press secretary today. Trump continues to spin fables about hydroxy. I don't know why, but he does own a small share of the company, Sanofi, that manufactures it. So there you go. There's a lot going on here. Centers for Disease Control, some of the staffers there are saying that Trump is putting politics ahead of science. Well, where have you heard that before? Beside here as well. Lots to talk about. Henry, welcome back. It's progressing just as you have forecast. Nothing different. It's moving right on schedule.
Yeah, there's quite a few developments. The cases are pretty steady. There's about 22,000 new cases today. There are about a little over 1,500 deaths. The total, there's a couple of different numbers out there. One of the more popular ones is a Worldometer, and it's got it at 95,000 now, so 5,000 more to 100,000. So
we might get there by. Yeah. Well, with a little luck, we'd get there by Friday.
Yeah.
Certainly by Monday.
By pushing it, it's been closer to 1,500 a day. So
right.
By Friday,
well, Monday,
we'll be within a couple thousand and probably hit it over the weekend. So it'll either be over the weekend or on Monday. But by Monday, for sure, it'll be at 100,000.
Not that we want this, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the way it's been presenting itself that it, unfortunately,
yeah. Well,
most people see it.
Well, that's already baked into the cake.
Yeah.
I mean, the deaths are already in the hospital. I mean, it's not like...
that's the one thing that Trump
increase.
Could never understand. He could never get that the deaths were already hospitalized.
And whoever did this model for them that said it was going to... You know, it was a bunch of models. They're all wrong, but... The one that was more an economist put it together and claimed that the deaths were going to go to zero by May 15th. And when they made that, there were already too many people in the hospital for that to possibly happen. letting those go their course, a certain percentage of those in the hospital were going to die. And they were not going to be all dead by May 15th. You know, they were, so it was obvious it was put together by somebody who knows nothing about infectious diseases. And that's apparently what they used. Mm-hmm. To kind of shift gears and say, you know, go back to work. There's not going to be a problem. It's going to go away. It's going to be a month later. And Trump said it was going to go away, but it's going to go away. And, of course, it didn't go away. And it's not going away. And now all 50 states have, you know, at least eased restrictions. Not taking them off. Well, I know that they have taken off completely, but they, you know, some of these more than others, and many, if not most, of the ones that did lift the restrictions didn't didn't meet the criteria. They didn't even come close. The criteria was that the cases would be going down for 14 days.
Well, they made political decisions, not medical scientific decisions.
Right.
Yeah, you're 100% correct.
Right,
that's
right.
Obvious.
But that was the beginning of this shift. So first they kind of had the CDC. First they had the CDC kind of running things a little bit like usual, and they used to have regular press briefings and give updates. And then the day they gave the projection that Americans' lives were going to be affected by this virus, and they were going to have to behave differently, and they should be talking to their school or what they're going to do, and da 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 da. And then the stock market went down, and so did CDC. So that was kind of the end of the CDC briefing. So then Trump, got involved and started his clown show that ended with Clorox, and it was the beginning of the end as far as the CDC's involvement. And and so they're still there, and he's still got Fauci's there, but you're not really hearing a whole lot from Fauci. Not the task force is pretty much in name only.
There's no
task forces doing anything. They're not holding any press conferences. And I think that I was trying to figure out this hydroxychloroquine and on the one hand, when he first started talking about it, it was kind of like, this pie in the sky stuff, that all his problems are going to get solved with this miracle drug, and it's, not that expensive, and he's got to make sure everybody gets it. And Rick Bright got in the way of everybody getting it, that, he put restrictions in that you can get it if you're in the hospital and you're under a doctor's care, but you can't just start releasing it. And so that plan got foiled, but I don't know if it's completely or just briefly foiled, because now the latest rumor is that Trump is trying to come up with doctors that are going to go out and kind of give the all clear. So he's going to replace the real scientists and the real doctors with, I don't know, whoever he's recruiting. Probably going to get some of these guys that are on TV that don't practice anymore, and they just, make outlandish predictions and get them to come on board and say,
right.
Not a problem. The virus isn't really that bad. It's kind of like a bad flu, and it kind of fades in the summer anyhow, and there's a lot of sunlight. As long as you go outside, you can do whatever you want. And that's probably going to be the message. And I'm beginning to suspect that the real reason for that message is more than just trying to get everybody back to work, because that's not really going to work until people see that going back to work doesn't equal going back to workplace that's got more virus, and they need some assurances that the virus is gone, and the testing levels are probably not there yet to do that. And what's going to end up happening on that front, I think, is they're going to try to get ready for school. And NCAA just gave the approval for football and men's basketball and women's basketball to start voluntary practicing June 1st. And so the teams are going to start getting together. And
the table is being set for the big feast.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is, they are going to do some testing, and the athletes are going to start being infected, and then they're going to have to figure out, are we just going to go ahead and put those guys on the side and just continue on? And then more are going to get infected, and they're, before they even get the ball rolling, so literally, they're going to have a bunch of issues that are going to come up during practice.
Well, just
that
like
they're having to
just
get
like
to the
Ford.
Games.
Let's go to the Ford Motor Company.
Right.
They opened the plants and they shut one down 2 days later.
Two. I think. There's one's in Dearborn, Michigan, and the other one's outside of the area. But
are we
getting
Are we getting to a point, Henry? And this is just me asking, where we're going to have to make a decision if we could make a decision. We're going to just have to face this virus, face it down, let it do its thing, and get past it. Or are we going to continue to try to depress the curve, wear masks, go back into house arrest, as some call it, and deal with it that way? What are we going to do? We don't have any middle ground in this thing. We're going to.
There's a middle ground. I don't think you'll be successful, and so I think you're going to end up.
Well, that's my point. It won't work.
Facing it down, and
that's right.
But they haven't seen it yet. They've seen the Herald
It's coming
wave.
In September. And that's right.
They haven't seen the wave.
This is going to be a test.
They saw the little guy that shows up and says, "Hey, look what's coming." But what's coming is not what happened over the spring. That's just
that's 1% of the population was infected at the most.
That's just a little hello, I'm here. Guess what's going to happen in the fall? And there's a lot of, I don't even say a lot anymore. There's some people that think that that's it. They didn't hear the word fall. They thought, you're talking about the virus falling, not the season. Mm-hmm. The virus is supposed to fall in April, and then it's supposed to fall in May. And now, it should fall over the summer. And and if there's a little fire, we'll stomp it out, as Trump would say. And these guys are totally clueless. I mean, they're just not paying attention. I mean, it's not like this is the first pandemic. And it's not like it's unlike other ones, like 1918. Trump doesn't even believe in 1918. He calls it 1917 all the time. He's the only person in the world that calls the 1918 pandemic 1917.
Well, that's Trump.
It's surprising. He can't even accidentally
call
it the
right name. Quite the
revisionist. But the problem is going to be that this virus is got a lot of tricks up its sleeve. And it's going to affect the vaccine. There are going to be issues with the vaccine. Just to give a little bit more detail, I kind of touched on it yesterday, but and you mentioned the one in Oxford that the monkeys initially looked to be somewhat resistant, and they ended up developing infections. And so
here's one for you. Here's a good one.
Go ahead.
I think you've probably seen this. A Wisconsin woman today came out in Newsweek, took hydroxychloroquine for 19 years for lupus. And guess what happened to her? She got infected with coronavirus. How can I be sick? She said. How can I be sick? Our president told us it works.
Didn't see that. Yeah.
Oh, I'll send it over.
They were saying that, I mean, these aren't even anecdotes. These are just yarns that people have spun. They're just ad hoc kind of arguments that, maybe this, maybe that, and maybe you're wrong. And they would say, there isn't that much in Africa because they have malaria there. And this, they have this natural kind of resistance to the malaria, and therefore that kind of somehow gives them resistance to the coronavirus and COVID. And it's nonsense. I mean, it's all over Africa now. It just hadn't gotten in. It's the Italian strain, and it's in sub-Sahara Africa. It's in Northern Africa.
They got about 90,000 cases
South Africa.
Now reported. Mm-hmm.
And it's not, they don't have any resistance down there. It's running through those those the Congo has got
like a power lawnmower.
DRC, they're all the Italian strain, and it's running through it. And that's what the top four countries are now. I mean, the top four countries, Russia's gone into number two, and then number three is the UK, and now Brazil's coming up fast. So Brazil might end up passing the UK. And all four of those countries are overloaded with this Italian strain, and they're all headed by dictators, essentially, who don't think the virus is the problem. They think they could talk it down. You know, they say, oh, don't worry about it, it'll go away. And now they're all in trouble. And they got the top four slots. But as far as the vaccine is concerned, you know, Moderna kind of made their announcement and the stock went up and the stock market went up. And it was kind of, oh, look at this. We got this, this new technology. You're going to use RNA. They're going to make the S protein and you're going to have antibodies against it. And, you know, they might have X million doses by the end of this year. And, but their announcement didn't really give a lot of details. And a little bit of details were couched in the, you know, sounds good, but if you kind of read between the lines, there's some fairly big red flags. And just to kind of go through some of these issues with this, I mean, I will guarantee you the product from Moderna will not be on the market by the end of this year or the beginning of next year. And there are some serious issues. Issue number one is they used the three different doses. And the phase two trial is not going to use, you know, three different doses because the highest dose caused adverse effects. So that one's gone. So one down, two to go. So they're only going to be able to use two doses. And the initial trial was done with 45 patients. And, you know, they kind of set these trials up, especially at the beginning where they have a limited number. They're kind of designed to succeed. So, you know, these are going to be healthy individuals. They're not going to have any underlying conditions. They're going to be relatively young. They'll kind of spread out the age a little bit. So they'll have one or two at the low end and one or two at the high end. And most of them are going to be young adults that should have a good immune system and should do relatively well. But they said they had 45, and they said they all produce an immune response to the vaccine, which sounds good. But they didn't really give specifics. They just said, well, they had antibodies in a range that you would normally see from somebody with a natural infection. But
right.
Someone with a natural infection is a lot of different people and a very wide range. So they might have had a titer that was barely detectable. They might have had a titer like at 40 or something. And they might have had a titer at 1,000 or 2,000 and something in between. But they don't really say that, you know, most of them had, you know, a titer above X. They just said they were in this range, and they didn't define the range other than say that's what people get in a normal infection. And that's a very wide range. So the fact they had some response is okay, but you don't know how much of that was neutralizing antibodies. You don't know how well, you know, and a titer of 40 or titer of 80 would do as far as protection is concerned. And there was no detail on those specifics. But then the clue was that then they started talking in detail about 8 of the 45. So that means that they didn't really talk about the other 37. And so now they made some antibody, but, you know, what happened after that? I mean, they said that they have data on 8 for neutralizing antibodies. Well, you can imagine that the 8 that they've got data on were probably the ones that were the highest titers. So they just took 8 of them. And the question would be, you know, why is it only 8? Eight's not a very high percentage of 45.
Nope.
And then they didn't really give a whole lot of details on how well these 8 did, other than they made neutralizing antibodies. So, you know, does that mean the 37 didn't have neutralizing antibodies? I mean, that's an extreme, but that would fit everything they said. They wouldn't be lying. They'd just be not talking about the bad news and just talking about the good news. So anyway, it's a very preliminary kind of result. It doesn't really have any specifics. And it says, you know, it's better than saying, you know, we didn't get any response, or, you know, they had borderline, you know, but it sounded a lot better than it might be. And I don't know exactly how the other 37 did. And I don't even know exactly how the 8 did, other than they had neutralizing antibodies and they didn't say what the titer was. And so it was a feel-good kind of press release.
that investors
they were waiting for anything, and they said, oh, this sounds like good news. And it was good for the stock price, and it made a good bump in the market overall.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean there's going to be a vaccine by the
end of the year. Now, I had a story today which proposed that the first vaccine, if it's really going to be a vaccine, will be composed and comprised of genetic pieces. It won't be an attenuated virus. It'll be genetic pieces. And they're calling this a temporary vaccine, a bridge vaccine, that'll last and be good for maybe 2 to 3 months. I don't know if you've heard about that or not, but that's the latest twist on this crazy story that I ran across today. I'll see if I can find that.
Yeah, I'd have to take a look at that. Sounds... number one, there's... I don't know what the count is, but I think it's close to maybe 100 different trials. And the different
trials... That are ongoing now.
Right. And I mean, some aren't ongoing in the sense that they're in patients. They're,
right.
You know, some of them are preclinical, some of them are, you know, doing X, Y, or Z, but they basically have the target, they've got the delivery system, they've got some initial data, they're planning on, you know, putting it in patients, you know, in a couple of months, you know, sometime this year, but they know what their plan is. I mean, they've got a plan, they've got a delivery system, they've got a target, and they're planning on, you know, getting into a clinical trial with actually humans,
right.
Sometime into, you know, probably within a year. And there's a whole spectrum of different types of trials. So, you know, anyone that's saying this is what they have planned, or that's what one company has planned, and I don't know what this temporary thing is, but I mean, I can give you an anecdote that will be a wake-up call for all of these vaccine manufacturers, and it's really not that unexpected, and it's kind of what I've described previously for the swine flu. And I have a sense that the exact same thing's going to happen with COVID. And if you recall, for the swine flu, it kind of followed the same pattern that this outbreak is. It started in the spring. It started a little bit before spring break. And, you know, the initial cases were a couple children in Southern California. One was in San Diego County, the other was in Imperial County. They didn't have any contact with swine. They didn't have any contact with each other. And they both had this this triple reassortant. They had the same virus. And what that tells you is that, you know, to have two people with the same virus, you know, a few hundred miles apart with no contact. Means that there's a whole lot of people between those two people that were positive that had the same virus. And there was already off and running. And then if you recall, right after that, came spring break. And then all these students that came, you know, went down to Mexico and they came back from Mexico and they had the virus and they spread the virus all over the U.S. and it was all over Mexico and it's all over Canada. And then, you know, within a month or so, it was officially it was a pandemic. And, even though it was a pandemic in the spring, it still was a little bit spotty. You know, it was here and there. I mean, I remember it. Yeah, it was kind of the same thing in August. Your sports and I kid in high school, you're not telling all the parents. Oh, you know that's my
truth.
It was floating around in the spring. You know that's going to be here in Pittsburgh this fall. And they all kind of looked at me and said, "What are you talking about? You know, it's in the spring. You don't really hear much about it anymore. Why do you think it's going to be here?" And school season started, and everybody had a cough, but nobody was really that sick. And, you know, I asked the kids, you know, many people coughing at school yet? And they kind of give me a little update, you know. Yeah, well, there's some crud going around, and everybody's got it. But, you know, I would look in the papers, and one school had it at the beginning, a high school had it, and you know, they had 10% of the kids were out, and they called it a mystery disease. And they I don't think they ever did admit it was swine flu, but you know, you knew that's what it was. And but that was about it at the beginning of the school year. And then it was about 6 weeks into it that it really got rolling. And what that indicated to me was that you could be infected more than once. The kids that had a cough had the virus. They didn't really have enough virus to get really sick. They didn't really get diagnosed with the virus. But they also didn't have enough of the virus to have a good enough immune response to prevent themselves from getting that same virus again. And then when the temperature got a little bit cooler and you got more kids that had a little higher viral load, then that little cough that they had in September didn't really keep them from getting the virus in October, in mid-October.
Right. I found this clip for you.
Okay, what's the clip say?
I'll play it when you're ready. Okay. Go ahead and finish up what you're doing. And
okay, just to finish up, the same thing is going to happen with COVID, that a lot of people that got infected in the spring are not going to have protection in the fall. And these vaccines that kind of give an immune response, and they got a titer of 40 or they got a titer of 80, they're not going to protect very well. And those people are going to get infected in the fall.
Okay.
And the ones that are a little bit older were the most vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
And just did a so-so immune response and don't have that robust of an immune system, they're going to get infected in the fall. And it's going to look bad for the vaccines, because when they do the vaccine, they're going to do just what they said here. Well, we gave the patients the vaccine and we measured the antibody and, you know, X percentage had an antibody response. And we think that, you know, a titer of 40 or a titer of 80 is protective. And then if they do any challenges before that, so they go and before they really get things rolling, they're going to immunize people, and they're going to see how many of those that got immunized actually end up getting the virus. Mm-hmm. And what they're going to find out is, you know, a titer of 40, a titer of 80 might work in the springtime, but that's not going to hold up in the fall.
No, they're going to do anything in the fall.
There's going to be plenty of virus going around.
One story I had today, I'm going to play this clip, but they're now beginning to say that people who have recovered and become reinfected are not contagious during the reinfection stage of their experience with coronavirus. So second time around, allegedly, I didn't read that they said low viral load means non-infectious.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
No. It has to be. I'm just telling you what I read. It has to be garbage.
It's not viral load. It's not reinfected. These are people that got infected, and then they tested negative, and then they had our viral RNA hanging around.
Okay.
And so the viral RNA was there, and so it's kind of at the borderline. So if they test it one day, they're negative. And then if they come back a week later,
so the reinfection angle is...
It's not a reinfection.
Got it.
It's leftover
it's
RNA.
Bogus.
It's not,
I got it.
It's not even the virus. It's just the RNA. There's
that
nothing
triggers,
growing.
It triggers the
There's
test.
Nothing.
Okay.
It's hanging around.
Got it.
The test does not measure virus. The test measures RNA. It doesn't care if the RNA is in a replicating virus or if it's just hanging around in mm-hmm. nasal mm-hmm. secretion.
Oh, you straighten that out. I got it.
It's positive. You've got viral RNA, but you're mm-hmm. not going to affect anybody because it's not viral RNA in a virus. It's just viral RNA sitting around from an old
that's
virus.
That's a very major
away.
Clarification. Thank you for that. Seriously, that's really important for people to hear. We'll talk about that again another time. I think it's worth revisiting. All right, here's this clip. And I'll just play it. It's about a minute long, a minute 10. And then we'll see. This is the place I happen to look at a little bit of this clip, and they mentioned this short-term or interim. You can't even call it a vaccination. It's like a discouraging approach, not a vaccine. Here, let's listen.
With RNA or nanotechnology with DNA, and that nanotechnology is supposed to facilitate the entrance of that genetic material into these cells, right? So a lot of that hasn't been talked about at all. And also the fact, you know, a lot of these companies, as I said earlier, they're strategic allies of DARPA.
Let me play that again and get a little bit more in there so you can get the whole thought here.
DARPA, and now we're seeing them both combined into these vaccines. So it's nanotechnology with RNA or nanotechnology with DNA, and that nanotechnology is supposed to facilitate the entrance of that genetic material into these cells, right? So a lot of that hasn't been talked about at all. And also the fact, you know, a lot of these companies, as I said earlier, they're strategic allies of DARPA. They've gotten millions of dollars in DARPA funding. They've also, in Moderna's case, directly collaborated on these vaccines together with DARPA, even after developing their platforms with DARPA. That hasn't been talked enough about. So what if DARPA wanted to introduce something, you know, into the human population? They would do it through a strategic ally that isn't necessarily DARPA, right? But also DARPA right now, I mean, they're not just pushing these long-term solution vaccines. They're also creating synthetic antibody treatments, which are basically these, you know, made in a, you know, synthetic genetic material that is injected into your body and has you produce the antibodies to coronavirus that is supposed
I've heard more than enough. These guys are wackos. Jeff, please. These are wackos. They're talking about this. Oh, DARPA is planning on infecting the world with X, Y, and Z, and they're using the vaccine as the shield.
I get that. I just wanted you to know this is what's running around, so you can straighten it out.
Right, it's stupid stuff. The synthetic antibodies are monoclonal antibodies. I made monoclonal antibodies in 1978.
Back in
school.
They
were discovered in 1975. No, I was in graduate school. But, it's postdoc, actually. So they've been around forever. I made a lot of monoclonal antibodies. Monoclonal antibodies are a lot of the existing drugs. If you have a drug like Humira for arthritis, that's a monoclonal antibody. Monoclonal antibody technology was new in 1975. It's not synthetic.
Geez, that's 50 years ago. Yeah.
But
That's damn near 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's not synthetic technology. It's basically taking a tumor cell line, infusing it with a mouse spleen cell, and you basically make a factory. You make a hybridoma. It's a hybrid, and it's with a tumor cell. That's what the oma is from. It'll grow forever in the lab. It'll make the antibody that you want. You can make tons
keeps
and tons of it.
Keeps cranking them out. Right.
And then you use the monoclonal antibody for various treatments. And you pick whatever you want the monoclonal antibodies to do. So it has nothing of using as a trick to put it in anywhere. It's a technology. It's a very effective technology. It lets the scientists make any antibody that they want and make as much of it as they want. And they turn it into drugs that are used to fight different types of diseases. So that's what this artificial synthetic BS that they're trying to say is something that the DARPA is planning on introducing something. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's because it's a quote man-made antibody because you basically take the natural antibody and make it immortal. That is somehow going to be introducing something. And then they're doing the same thing with the vaccine. There's RNA and DNA. The RNA and DNA is brought in by another virus, a vector, and it's put on, it's synthesized, so it's under a certain control, and they can make X amount of it, and they can put it inside a virus, and the virus is going to crank it out. And so that's what Moderna was. Moderna is basically taking the genetic sequence for the S protein of the virus, and it puts it into a vector. The vector goes in, and that's what the vaccine is. And then the RNA gets made into the protein, and then the protein is secreted, and you make antibodies to the protein, and that's where you get your protection. So these are two different technologies. They're going to throw in this nanotechnology, they throw in this artificial antibody, and they turn it into a biological weapon for introducing something into the world. And that's what you're listening to. It is pure garbage.
It's another example of what's running loose.
People won't take the vaccine, and they're going
I
don't know what's in that. That's something that the government is trying to introduce something into the population, and they're saying take this vaccine.
Well, if they wanted to do that, they could put it in the drinking water, for goodness sakes. Come on. You don't need to do it with a vaccine.
That's what they're talking about in that clip.
Very good.
If it doesn't work for the vaccine, then it works for these artificial antibodies, which are a very good. I mean, the guys got a Nobel. Kohler and Milstein got Nobel prizes for discovering that technology in 1975. And
this is why you're so valuable. You are the voice of science in a world that is absolutely drowning in anti-science. And that's what we have.
And unfortunately, that's what we have in the White House.
And that is why
this pandemic in the U.S. is going to be particularly bad. It's not just the U.S. Now it's in Brazil, and it's in Russia.
Oh, Brazil is in trouble.
And it's in the U.K. because they're all doing the same thing. They think they can kind of close their eyes and click their heels, and the virus will be gone. Or they can go and tell the virus that it isn't here, or it's a hoax, and it'll be gone. And the virus doesn't care what they say. The virus doesn't care how much propaganda they put out. The virus doesn't care what kind of pseudo doctors they're going to get now in the U.S. to go around and say, don't worry about it. This isn't a problem. Who knows what they're going to say. But Trump won't use the CDC because those are scientists. They're not going to lie for him. The scientists are already coming out and saying that they've been muzzled and that their science is getting polluted by politics. And that
totally.
Trump is coming in.
Totally.
Trump is coming in and he's the
he's
voice
politicized
of
science.
The pandemic. Right. And all he's trying to do. I mean, my question was, is hydroxychloroquine soluble in Kool-Aid? Because what he's going to do is he's going to go and say,
Trump
come to
town.
The rally. We'll give you a Kool-Aid spiked with hydroxychloroquine, and you'll be in better shape when you leave the rally than when you arrive.
Oh, they'll line up.
You're right.
Never mind this woman who's taken it for 19 years and still got infected. No extra charge for the Kool-Aid.
Free Kool-Aid spiked with hydroxychloroquine.
Jonestown, Trump town. You got it.
Right.
They would. You're right. They absolutely would. They'd line up.
Yeah. Now, he's not going to do it that directly. But indirectly, that's what he's going to do. He's going to get these scientists to come and say, it's not a problem. We got the virus under control. Even
you got
rent-a-scientists.
They're all over the place. You're right.
Right.
They'll take the notoriety. Stand with Trump.
They're going to go on TV. Mm-hmm. They're going to come and say, you know, it's summertime. The sun's shining. The virus doesn't do that well. You know, most of the people that get the virus, you'll be better off for it. You'll have some immunity. You'll get over it. You know, only a small percentage go to the hospital. Most of the ones that go to the hospital are, you know, on their last leg anyway. And, it's unfortunate, but it happens, you know, and you can't let this get in the way. We've got an election coming up. You got a rally coming up. Don't worry about who's standing next to you or who's coughing next to you.
What you're saying here in summary is that there are going to be very difficult times ahead. You think it's been bad this far?
Yeah.
And I don't know that we're going to see a lockdown again, Henry. I don't know that that'll fly with the people now. They've had it. There's real fatigue with this whole pandemic. People are just burnt.
It depends on how quickly the bodies pile up. Here's a clue. Here's the clue. I said Gene Banks, or actually CSAD, it's got a lot of sequences. And today they just got over the 30,000 mark. So there's 30,000 sequences. These are all for this virus. These are all, you know, been deposited in the last several months. And actually the vast majority of those 30,000, probably 25,000, have been deposited within the last 1 month. So they've just been pouring in there.
Yeah.
You can just put it in your country and hit search and, they'll all pop out. And so, there's like 207 from Russia and, they started putting them in about a month ago or so. And, you know, a lot of your listeners probably haven't looked at this, but they come with a characterization sheet. And, you know, some of the fields are kind of left blank and sometimes they're filled in. But, a couple of the important fields are the age, the gender, and the status. And the status refers to the clinical status. And, most of the time that's blank. So, and sometimes even the age and gender are blank. There's not a whole lot of information. I mean, the sequence mm-hmm. has got a designated number and it's got mm-hmm. information about, you know, who submitted it and where, where it's from, but it doesn't have all that much about the host. But there's a couple different sources from Russia that have been depositing sequences. One is Vector Labs, and you know, you might have heard me mention them in the past because they did a lot of the sequencing for H5N1 and back in 2005 when I kind of went up to Siberia, they did a lot of those initial sequencing, and they, you know, they sequenced both human and animal viruses. And then the other one is the WHO lab in Russia, and they do a fair amount of sequencing. And the WHO labs started depositing sequences, you know, a few weeks ago. And most of the sequences didn't have a whole lot of information. And if they did, as far as the status was concerned, most of them had the age and gender, but they had the status. Sometimes it had something and sometimes it didn't. And generally when the status was filled in, they were hospitalized. And then today they put in a new set. And there were 53 new sequences were released today by the WHO in Russia. And these were all pretty much in the St. Petersburg area. And they had the age and gender for almost all of them. And they had the status for almost all of them. And now they had quite a few. Maybe it was, I'd say probably 10 or 15, probably closer to 15 of them. Status was deceased. So these were the ones that definitely died from the virus that they had. And so you could see the sequences. And the sequences weren't that unusual. They were all the Italian sequence. I mean, all of the samples were the Italian sequence, no matter what the status was. And there's a couple different versions of the Italian sequence, but there wasn't anything that jumped out. But there were a few things that did were striking. And it was the ages. And there was a 17-year-old male. There was an 18-year-old female.
Oh, moving into the younger.
And there were quite a few of those that were in their 30s and in their 40s and in their 50s.
I read that today. I did.
And, and these were all deceased. And then they had a 2-month-old that was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And they hadn't really released ones. I mean, they could have been deceased, but they didn't really say they were deceased. So these were the first ones that they released from Russia that the status is listed as deceased, and that's fairly unusual. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the sequences are from deceased patients, but they're just left blank because they don't really say that.
Right.
But I
got another question for you. Somebody just wrote in here. It's a good question. There's another antiviral. I can't pronounce it. G-A-L-I-D-E. Galidisivir. Galidisivir. G-A-L-I-D-E-S-I-V-I-R. Galidisivir.
If it ends in I-V-I-R, it's an antiviral, but go on.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I know. Please ask Dr. Nyman if he has heard anything or is following the clinical trials of Galidisivir.
Yeah. No, I don't know that one specifically. Looking at them as they've been coming out. But it's, you know, based on the name and the way it ends, it's an anti-viral, just like Remdesivir, you know, that ends in IVIR also. And that one's a nucleotide analog. So I'm not sure. It might be another like a protease inhibitor.
Well, there's the real famous one is acyclovir. That's big. That's the anti-herpes retroviral.
Yeah. So, So that's what the VIR at the end stands for, is virus, mm-hmm. for virus. So those are antivirals.
And, all right, very good.
I don't know. I'll take a look and see if I can get a little bit of information on that. But
I'll send this over to you so you get the spelling right. I may have missed it. Thank you. You just make such great contributions, and that's why I bring these things up to you.
Thank you. Well, sounds good, and we'll go at it again tomorrow.
Oh, well, wait. Let's wait and see. Here's Trump chomping down on his hydroxy and losing more hair. I found another picture today, and his hair is... it's going fast.
It also causes mood swings and irritability.
We don't need any more of those.
I think he's overdosing. he said he's going to stop, but I think it's getting to him already. And I don't know what his half-life is. I don't know how quickly he's going to get back to, quote, normal.
He said he was going to quit the hydroxy?
Yeah. He said it's going to take him a few more days. And,
I see. And, all right.
That's what he says, but who knows? I mean, I don't even know for sure.
Who knows?
He's taking it.
Who knows?
He just says
who knows?
That's what he's doing. But that could be just setting it up so that all his fans will take it and come to the rallies because they're good to go.
Well, it's Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
thanks.
It's a prophylactic.
Henry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Take care.
Good night. Yeah. All right. There you go. And, we will be right back with you in 21 hours. Take good care. Thanks for being here. And keep watching the news. Talk soon.